Four. And we're going to look at verses 22 and 23, well, 21 to 23. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is come when you shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For our Father seeks such to worship him." Say, the hour is right now. For the true worshipers. Let me have the true worshipers stand up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And as you stand, exercise some true worship.
Hallelujah.
Bless your holy name. Praise your holy name. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Bless your holy name forevermore. Praise you, Lord God. We bless the name of Jesus. It is the name of Jesus that's above every other name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. We bless your holy name. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We bless you and praise you and magnify you, Lord God. We glorify you. We worship you. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus forevermore. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now let me ask you a question. While you were worshiping the Lord right now, what happened to your problems? The focus of your problems was gone because you magnified something over those problems. Amen? Now, when you leave this place and you face challenges, what are you going to do? Do it just like you did here. You may not have to do it out loud because you might be in a place where you don't have to do it out loud, but you know what? You can still do it. Amen? Amen. You may have your seats. Praise God. God has called each and every person to be a worshiper of him. Whether you realize it or not, we are all called to worship. I mean, we are designed to worship. Amen? If you don't worship God, you will worship something. Because we gravitate to worship. You will worship the object of your affection. You know, the Bible says, talks about people who put their trust in money. Is money bad? No. But the love of it is. When you make money your sole goal in life, you're worshiping money. Money is a tool. Listen, if I had a hammer in my hand, I'm not going to worship that hammer. I'm going to use that hammer to pound something. Amen? Why? Because the hammer is a tool. It helps me do things that I can't do without it. But Jesus has to be your priority of worship. Did you know that time spent in God's presence is well spent? You will never be disappointed spending time in God's presence. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at a story here today of this group of people that Jesus called to himself. And you know what's interesting about this group of people? Well, let me just read this and then I'll go on. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Say 70 also. This group was above and beyond the 12. Okay? And sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick that are there, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves to us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near unto you. So these 10, I'm thinking of the chapter. These 70, we don't know their names. They're ordinary people like you and I. Amen? How many know that God wants to use you and I? Amen. Say, God wants to use me. Say, God created me. For a purpose. And I want to fulfill his purpose. What do these 10 have to do? I keep saying 10. What do these 70 have to do with worship? Well, the Amplified says that the Lord chose them. They had a relationship with God. Amen? They had contact with Jesus. They were used to coming in his presence. They were probably part of the multitudes that followed him. I guarantee you these were part of the 120 on the day of Pentecost. They were followers of Christ. They were dedicated and committed to serving God. They were worshipers. God is going to use the true worshipers. Those who worship God in spirit and in truth, those are the ones whom God is going to use. Why? The Bible said he is seeking such to worship him. If he finds a person that is willing to worship him in spirit and in truth, then he knows he has a person whose heart is for the Lord. Because not everybody worships him in spirit and in truth. There are a lot of places that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. You know, even Jesus told to the Pharisees, he said, with your lips you praise me, but your heart is far from me. You know, a lot of times people can go through the motions of worship without their heart being in it. They're like a robot. I do a little robot impression, but that's from the 80s. See, experiencing God with worship starts with your willingness to give God first place in your life. That's where worship begins. What place does God, what place should God have in our lives? First, not second. Okay, God, I'll get to your agenda after I do my agenda. Then you just put him second. Worship starts with our willingness to give God first place in our lives. That means you got to spend time with him. You got to be devoted to God's written word and God's living word. Who's the living word? Jesus. Devoted. Say, that word devoted. What does it mean to be devoted to something? You dedicate your time, your energy to doing that thing. Amen? Does that mean you need to be in the Bible 24 hours a day? No. But what it means is, you know, you can give God first place in your life and make room for other things. The Bible says, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Whose righteousness? That means we are to seek his standards, not our standards. And he said, when you do this, what will he do in return? All these things. What are those things? The things that the Gentiles seek after. Food, clothing, shelter, and whatever else. He said, when God is first, he will add those things to you. But these 70, they were worshipers of the Lord. And he chose them. He appointed them. They were sent to represent him. Do you realize that he sent them two at a time to every city he was going to? So in other words, see, a true worshiper worships God in spirit and in truth. They experience God's presence. They were going to a city where God's presence was going to follow them. Wouldn't it be awesome to go to a place and have God's presence follow you? Why should it be something in the future? Why shouldn't we have that right now? Amen? It's not a matter of whether or not God's presence is with you. It's a matter of, are you with his presence? To my knowledge, they haven't invented an automatic gas tank where you just drive by and it fills your car. Right? If they have, let me know. In other words, when your car is on empty, you have to go to a place, and unless you're in New Jersey, you have to fill up your own gas. In New Jersey, it's a rule that there's no self-service stations in New Jersey. Yes. You go to the New Jersey Turnpike, they always have people pump your gas. You go any place in New Jersey, they have to pump your gas. So if you're going to be a true worshiper, you are going to have to take the initiative of keeping your tank full of God. You know, you can't just go like this. I'm full. No, you're actually going to have to get in the book. And you're actually going to have to read, and you're actually going to have to meditate, you're actually going to have to study to get full. Because I tell you what, if you're not full of this, the devil will take advantage over you. Time in God's presence is well spent. You have to develop a hunger. You have to develop a hunger for God that supersedes your desire for the things of this world. We have to change our priorities in order to receive fresh revelation and receive continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. I want you to look at verse 15. We're going to read verses 15 to 20. Look carefully then how you walk. Does that mean I should watch where my feet step? No, what the Bible is saying is consider how you live. What is your lifestyle? Do you know if God is first in your life, he'll be first in your lifestyle. In other words, you will make accommodations to serve God before you. Come on, I'm preaching good. I didn't say this, the Bible said this. Look carefully at how you live. Live purposely. You ever meet anybody? Say, what are you doing? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. They're not living purposely. They're living accidentally. Where are you going to find purpose? You can find it in the Bible, and you can find it in Pastor Fiona's book. The purpose of you. Live purposely and worthily and accurately. This is what the Amplified says. Not as the unwise and witless, but as the wise, sensible, intelligent people. I am talking to a group of sensible and intelligent people today. Verse 16. Make the very most of the time. The King James says, redeeming the time. Buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Do you think if God is not first in your life, are you going to make good use of your time? No. You won't. I won't. Why do we need to redeem the time? Because the days are evil. I don't know if you know it or not, but we live in an evil world. There is death and destruction going on all around this world. But we have to redeem the time. We're going to do that by getting into God's presence. Did you know that when you get in God's presence, he can quicken things? You know? Think about this. You've been trying to do something on your own, in your own effort, with your own ability, and you're not getting anywhere. It's like you're stuck in mud. But then you get in God's presence, and he just takes you from there to there. How do I know this? Remember when the disciples were told to go across to the other side, and a storm rose up when they were in the middle of the sea, and they were trying to row, and they couldn't row. They weren't making any progress because they were doing it on their own effort. But Jesus walked on the water, and the minute he got into their boat, they were on land. He quickened where they were. He accelerated. See, when you worship God in spirit and in truth, he's gonna help you redeem the time because he's going to give you his perspective. Is there anything that takes God by surprise? You're never going to hear God say, Michael, Gabriel, what happened? Let's have a meeting. No, he knows the end before the beginning even starts. How are we going to do this? How are we going to redeem the time? Notice what he said, verse 17. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Can you understand what God's will is? He just said so. He said that you can understand what God's will is. He wants you to understand. He's given you the ability to understand. Now notice this. And do not get drunk with wine. Who gets drunk with wine? The world, right? So we're not to use wine. See, wine isn't our comforter. The Holy Spirit is. See, most people, they get drunk because they feel a lot of bad things, and when they're drunk, they don't feel it anymore until the next morning. Then they got those feelings again. Then they got to keep doing it, and then it becomes a vicious cycle. And man, God's interested in breaking cycles. Do not get drunk with wine where it is debauchery, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. How are you going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Verse 19, speak out to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That sounds to me like worship. So when you come together as a true worshiper to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, he's going to fill you with his Holy Spirit. His presence is going to come in you. It's going to overflow you. It's going to get on you. It's going to come out of you. Amen. His presence, you're going to be so saturated, and you're going to walk out like dynamite. You know, for those of you that remember Good Times, Jimmy Walker, dynamite. Some of you younger people going, who's that? Don't know who that is. How do we know that these 70 were filled with the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus gave them power to heal the sick. And when they came back, they said, even the devils were subject to us. That tells me that they had, because they were in God's presence, they had his power. They had his commission. Amen? These 70. You know, there were a lot of times, if you look at Jesus' life, there were a lot of times he got up early or stayed up late simply to pray. Jesus, who is the Son of God, he spent time with the Father. Did you know that before he chose his disciples, he prayed all night? Everybody say all night. When he chose the 12, he prayed all night. What do you think was happening in his prayer? He was receiving power from God to make the right choice. He was receiving wisdom from God. He was receiving spiritual insight to, you know, with spiritual insight, you can read between the lines. These 70, let's go back to Luke 10. These 70, they were hungry. Did they do what God said? Absolutely. See, you can only know the will of God and be filled with the Holy Spirit when you spend time in God's presence. You cannot just get knowledge without the Spirit and be effective for God. Did the Pharisees have knowledge? They knew the law, didn't they? How effective were they? They were people who honored him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. They were the people that wanted to kill the Lord. But they had knowledge. I don't want you just to have knowledge. I want you to have knowledge with the Spirit. Amen? If I could only tell you how many hours I spend as I'm preparing sermons, I'm listening to God. It's really quite the process with me. Now, it may be different for you, but you're not me. I know how God speaks to me, amen? Do you know how God speaks to you? You got to know how God speaks to you. You got to know how he uses you so that when he speaks, you got to be able to recognize his voice above any voice. So you got to become familiar with his voice. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And I only have 4 points. Look at what Psalm 100 says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Who should make a joyful noise to the Lord? Everybody. Notice what he said. Serve the Lord with what? Come before his presence with what? Singing or thanksgiving. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? And into his courts with what? That tells me, that gives us a way to enter into his presence. You enter into his presence through worship. And if you don't know him, it's really hard to worship him. Amen? But he is giving us access. Can you sing? He didn't even have to, he didn't say sing in tune. He just said sing. You know, I can carry a tune, just not too far. I like to sing solo. Solo, you can't hear me. No, just kidding. God gave me a lot of soul, but he put it at the bottom of my shoe. I can rap, I just can't sing that well. For the Lord, look at verse 5. For the Lord is what? Never is the Lord bad. Never. Never did God bring harm on you. Never does God bring destruction on you. He is good. The only time destruction comes is when a person takes themselves out of the will of God through disobedience. His mercy is what? Everlasting. Is his mercy ever going to fade away? And his truth endures to how many generations? So we need to experience God in worship. Now, some of you are making great progress. When you worship, you're connecting with God. Amen? We want to do that on a greater scale. We want to be a people of God that are so connected to God that we impact our community. Amen? The only way we're going to impact our community is with his power. It's not going to be our good looks. It's not going to be our eloquent speech. It's not going to be our experience or all of our degrees. It's going to be the power of God. Amen? The power of God is for salvation. Paul said, the great apostle Paul, he had knowledge, he had experience, but he said, I'm willing to consider all that dung for the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Not that that's bad. I'm not saying that that's bad, but I'm saying he emphasized the Lord more. Amen? It's going to take the power of God to reach this city. It's going to take the power for every believer walking in the power of God. And we do that by getting into his presence through worship. It's what these 70 did. Amen? You got to live a life of worship. Now, experiencing God requires two things, faith and action. Let's go back to Luke 10. Are you doing okay today? I did an outdoor wedding yesterday, and sweat was pouring down in my eyes. I had... Let's look at verse 17. If experiencing God's presence requires faith and action, verse 17 says, and the 70 returned again, very sorrowful, very heavy, with joy, saying, the Lord and the devils are subject unto us through night. Now, you can't return unless you go. Come on. The Lord gave them an instruction, but they had to exercise faith and action to obey his word. They had to step out. Did the Lord ask them if they liked the city that they were sent to? No, he didn't. And notice, there were 35, what's half of 70? Okay, great. I was in line and didn't know it. Do you realize that they went to 35 cities? Because he sent them out two by two to the cities that he was going to. So they went to 35 cities. They had a 35 city tour. And did the Lord say, when you go to a house, complain about the food that you get? They had to eat whatever was put before them. You talk about faith and action. You know, one time when I was in Fiji, we spent 10 days in the nation of Fiji, and we had a great time. And you know, in Fiji, all the men eat first, and the women then eat after them. Well, we had just had a big meal, okay? And I was stuffed, but we were in this village that had no electricity. And the pastor called me with our interpreter. He called me, and he wanted to have a special meeting with me. It was God's favor, because he respected me, so I had to eat again with him. It was a separate meal. And guess what? I was full, but you know what I did? I ate. You know what one of the things I ate? A fish eye. Listen, the key to eating a fish eye, swallow quickly and don't chew. Because it's crunchy and gooey at the same time. Anyway. Every day, you've got to listen. You've got to observe. You've got to follow Jesus. You've got to follow his instructions and his example. You know, it's amazing to me how God can give an instruction in his word, and we just pick and choose whether or not we're going to follow it. Okay, Lord, I like that instruction, but this one I don't like. I'll follow these three, but I'm not going to do this one. Then you're not putting God first. You are saying that I'm Lord, and I can make the decision. Listen, if you don't want to obey the instructions of God, that's fine. You don't have to, but guess what? You don't get the blessing. You only get the blessing and the reward from obeying the instructions. The Bible doesn't say that these 70 complained. Matter of fact, they returned with joy. When you're joyful, you're not complaining. Amen? Because they found their strength with the presence of Jesus. They were eager to spend time with Jesus. They were followers who just wouldn't go away. They wouldn't quit. They said, I'm following you, Jesus. Wherever you go, we're going. Like Elisha. Before Elijah was taken up, the Lord told Elisha, he said, if you see Elijah when he goes, you're going to get his anointing. So he had four opportunities to leave Elijah. He said, I'm not leaving. You're not getting out of my sight. I'm following you. Because the moment came when Elijah was taken up and Elisha saw it because he was right there. These were followers who wouldn't quit. The main priority was to sit at the feet of Jesus. We've got to absorb his word and we've got to serve him no matter the cost. What were they assigned to do, the assignment of the 70? They were to go where Jesus sent them. Did they have a choice in where they were to go? Before I came to Palmyra, Pennsylvania, I didn't even know Palmyra, Pennsylvania existed. Seriously. I didn't know anybody in Palmyra. I came from Illinois by way of Oklahoma through Tennessee, and we ended up here in Pennsylvania. Why? Because God sent us to all those places. Sometimes where God sends you, you're going to have to be willing to go no matter what. Okay? They were to follow his explicit instructions in the process. Go into houses. If they receive you, let your peace there. If they don't receive you, leave. Right? Eat what's put before you. Don't take any purse or provision. That's faith. Amen. Don't take an extra pair of sandals. They were to proclaim that the kingdom of God was near. They were to put their faith in action in order to see God's intervention. If you want to see God intervene, it's going to require your faith and action. Amen? They had a clear purpose. How did they get that clear purpose? Because they spent time in God's presence. How are you going to get a clear purpose? I didn't know. There was a time in my life where I didn't know what I was supposed to do. But you know what I did? I spent time in God's presence. You know what happened? He showed me what to do. Isn't that simple? When you spend time in God's presence, he'll show you what you need to do. Amen? But it's going to require some time. It's going to require some effort. They received power by being in his presence because God's presence in their life made the difference in their mission. Heal the sick, cast out devils. Their reward was great. Jesus said, be concerned that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. They experienced God's presence and power as they healed the sick and cast out devils. See, worship is a natural response of spending time with Jesus. Say, worship is natural.
Worship is natural.
It's not unnatural. But see, the world wants to make it unnatural. Your flesh, it's not natural to your flesh. You got to make your flesh. You're going to raise this hand, flesh. I'm telling you what. Body. I remember one time I read this quote. It was so funny. The quote said, I forget where I read it, but it said it was a tough fight, but the old man had to die. I can imagine what that kind of fight was, you know, fighting yourself. When should you worship? You should worship when you study the Bible. Worship when you pray. Worship without distractions. How many know if you let distractions come, it's going to deter you from worshiping? Hit the snooze button. The snooze button is not your friend. When God is saying, get up and pray. And your flesh is saying, snooze, snooze. You can worship when you start your day without distractions. When you end your day before you go to sleep. You want to fill your imagination with good things. Why do you think the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath? Because if you don't take care of wrath during the day, it'll multiply overnight. Come on. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can worship when you're driving. Just keep your eyes open. You don't have to get so spiritual. Oh, please open your eyes. You can worship with your eyes open. You know, the Bible says, watch and pray. Amen? Don't get carried away. When you're serving, You know what the Bible says? Whether you eat or drink, who are you supposed to do it to? When we serve, we're not to do it for the people. We're not to do it for ourselves. We're to do it for the Lord. That means we can totally serve according to the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit. It comes from one source, one tree, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Listen, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, don't pick and choose the nine. Let all nine operate. Come on. Get the whole tree. This is a diverse tree. It grows lots of fruit. Okay, number two. I'm getting way behind. You got to count the cost. Go with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9, 57. This is right before this chapter. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you where, I will follow you where, help me, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Does that mean that Jesus didn't have a bed? No, it just means he spent so much time traveling. Okay? And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. If God has called you to preach, the Apostle Paul said, I cannot help but preach the gospel. Because there's something on the inside of you that is you're yearning and it's compelling you to preach the gospel because there's something greater. It's what God wants you to do. If you're called to preach the gospel, then preach. You know what? I was in a meeting in Tulsa at my home church that when I lived in Tulsa, Grace Fellowship, and there was this guy there. His name was Dave Duell. Now, Dave was a very unique individual. He said, before God called me, he was a rancher. He was taking care of cattle, all right? He had several heads of cattle, big ranch. And when God called him, you know what he did? He started practicing, laying his hands and praying on his cows, on his cattle. And then he made this statement. He said, God transferred me from the cattle business to the sheep business. But he practiced laying hands on his cows and praying for healing. That's where, because at the moment when God called him, there wasn't any other people around other than his cattle. You start where you are. Amen? But you got to count the cost. Verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What are you looking back to? Is there any... You know, someone sang a song one time. Now, these are not my words. These are the words of the song. He said, there's nothing in hell that you want. There's nothing in hell that you want. There's nothing in your old life that you want. Come on. God made you to walk in a new life. See, Jesus has to be the priority of your life. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Guess what? Serving God is tough sometimes. Tough in the sense that you got to make some choices. And you got to be willing to suffer some things. You know, Pastor Fiona and I, we could tell you some of the sacrifices we made over the last 10 years. Would I do it again? Absolutely. I would put everything on the line for God no matter what. I would make the sacrifices again. Because we consider the sacrifice as a worthy investment because what we give to God, God multiplies. Amen. Amen? It's not a loss. Because we are storing up rewards where moth and rust can't get to. We are storing up eternal rewards. And I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, we're going to have some crowns to give to the Lord. We're going to join the 24 elders. We're going to worship around the throne. And we're going to cast our crowns before the Lord. I'm not going to heaven empty-handed. I'm going to certainly take some people with me. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. And it's verse 32. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Say endured. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you become companions of them that were so used, for they had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So, there's some, what's it going to cost you to follow God? You know, everybody wants to know the price. How much does this cost? What's the price of this? You might suffer persecution. Come on. I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to suffer sickness. That's not one of the things that a believer should suffer. You might suffer rejection. Did everybody accept Jesus? But did that stop him from going to the cross? For the joy that was set before him, what? He endured the cross, despising the suffering and the shame. It might cost you inconvenience. I don't feel like serving God today. I'm just going to do my thing. People who aren't willing to be inconvenienced aren't going to be used by God. Because guess what? God doesn't wear a watch. He's eternal. Come on. You know, but if God did have a watch, it would be a sundial. It may cost you material loss. In the book of Acts in the early church, what did the people sell and give to the church? Properties, houses, material goods. And what did they do with that? They gave it. Now, they didn't give a portion of the sale price. If they sold a house for $100,000, they brought $100,000 to the church. And if you're so inclined to do that, you're welcome to. But I'll let the Lord tell you that, amen? But notice they had more than one house to sell. Come on. Amen? It may cost you time. Are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to pay the cost? If God says, do this now, are you willing to pay the cost of time? Well, let me see. How much time do I have? You know what God's time is? N-O-W. Now. It may cost you families and friends. Did Abraham have to leave his family? Absolutely. I had to leave my family. First time I ever left home was when I was 21 and left for Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'd never been to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Or yeah, I was once, actually. I'm sorry about that. We were there on a bus trip. Actually, a mission, we were there. You know what happened when my mom and dad came down? They helped me move in. I found an apartment. They left on a Wednesday. In my apartment in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I had a folding card table, two folding chairs. I had a cot that my feet hung over about half a foot. And my TV sat on a box. And what couldn't hang in my closet was in a box, my clothes. And when my parents left, I laid on that carpet in that apartment and I wept. Because I'd never been out on my own before. It cost me something. But you know what? If I wasn't willing to pay the cost then, I wouldn't be here today. If you're a true worshiper, you're going to be willing to pay the cost. In other words, what does that mean to pay the cost? It means you're going to do what God says no matter what. You're going to do what God says no matter what people think, no matter what your family thinks. You know what? I had to convince my mom and dad. My mom and dad wanted me to go to college. At the time, I didn't want to. God was speaking to me. And then, you know, the Lord is funny. Say, the Lord is funny. Okay, I didn't want to go to school, so God sent me to Bible school. But my second year of Bible school, guess what God wanted me to do? Go to college. And guess what? Now I had a heart for it. Because if I didn't go to college, I wouldn't have met my wife, because she was praying. Little did I know that Fiona was praying. She said, I want a man who has more than a ministry degree. So God sent me to Lee University to get a business administration degree. And yes, I do have a degree, a bachelor's degree. But since I'm married, I'm no longer a bachelor, so. You know something else that you might have to, it will cost you? Your own agenda. My question to you is, are you willing to pay the cost? It's going to cost you to be a true worshiper, amen? Number three, listen, if you do what God wants you to do, things will work out for you. He told, He told his disciples, he said, if you give up houses, fathers, mothers, sisters, brethren, for my sake, he said, you will receive in this lifetime 100-fold. You know what God did for me when I left my family? In every place that I was, he had a family that took me in. He did. I'll tell you another story. Today's a story day. I'm impressed to tell these stories. I haven't thought about this, but my first service at Rhema Bible Church was the Wednesday night that my parents, you know what? When my parents left, I wept, but guess what? I got off the carpet and I went to church that night. Amen. Not knowing anybody. I'm sitting in a row. You know how they have those? This was a church of 2,000 people. The church that I was in was 200 people. Come on. And I'm sitting in one of those rows, you know, where they have the aisle in between the rows? I'm sitting on the front seat. And lo, guess what? I saw a person that went to the church I went to in Illinois. Her and her husband were there. You know what they did for me? They invited me out to dinner that night. And you know what they did for me afterwards? They cooked several meals for me. Because I counted the cost and I was worshiping God through my service. And I'm worshiping God while I'm serving, and he provided for me. God was gracious. God was good. People took me in. Everywhere that I went, everywhere that I've been, God has had families to minister to me. Because I counted the cost. Listen, the reward outweighs the cost. What you think it costs you, the reward can't even compare. The cost can't even compare to the reward. God is so good. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Amen. But it's going to take you to trust and obey him. Number three, you got to trust and obey. God told these 70, carry no purse, no provision, no change of sandals. He said, a laborer is worthy of his hire. Where they went, people fed them. And I'm sure people clothed them. I'm sure people took care of them because they were there serving God. I work for God. God takes care of me. But you're going to have to trust and obey. Say, trust and obey. How should we trust? The Bible says, Proverbs 3:5, with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. If you're relying on your own understanding to try to figure this thing out, you're relying on the wrong thing. You got to rely on God. He's bigger than your understanding. You got to keep your focus on Jesus. He uses ordinary people who are willing to do his work his way. See, we want to do it my way. No, you got to do it God's way. He gave, what if those 70 stopped along the way to greet people? He said, don't greet people on your way. Why? That takes up too much time. The time was precious because he said the laborers are few. Jesus said the harvest was so great, he needed laborers. And sometimes when God needs a laborer, he needs it now. You got to focus on that, and then everything else will take care of itself. Sometimes you got to be focused. You can't even stop and say hi to people. Sometimes. That was their instructions. We simply cannot fear people or the consequences for our obedience to the Lord. God's work requires faith and obedience. It requires sacrifice. Amen? And fourthly, number four, it's all about Jesus. That's our exit sign. Our next project is going to be to change all these exit signs here. That's going to be our next project. In God's presence, all your enemies, your distractions, your doubts, and your fears and difficult circumstances must bow. They must bow. How many times did Jesus go into a place to heal someone where they were weeping and wailing as if they were dead, and he had to cast them all out? See, when God's presence comes in, all the doubt and all the junk go out. Amen? See, Jesus is the object, the source, and the fulfillment of our worship. Don't we say that in our confession? If your eyes are on Jesus, you'll make it through the storm. But it's when you take your eyes off of Jesus that you start to sink. All of God's instructions require you to be obedient and to keep your focus on Jesus as you live a lifestyle of worship. Jesus came to give us a lifestyle. Was there ever a day where Jesus was not Jesus? Did he have his meals interrupted? Oh yeah, when he was sitting at the table, someone comes and anoints his feet and dumps oil on him. And guess what? He couldn't even take a shower before dinner. Come on. He goes and sits on a mountain and crowds of people are following him and he's got to feed them. Aim to always satisfy and please the Lord. I want to look at one more scripture and then I'm done, okay? So, time in God's presence is well spent. You won't be disappointed by spending time in God's presence. And when you do, you got to count the cost. It will cost you something. The question is, are you willing to pay the cost to get his presence? Zechariah had to climb a tree, or Zacchaeus, I'm sorry, Zacchaeus had to climb a tree to get into his presence. The woman with the issue of blood had to make her way through the crowd to get to his presence. The man who was lame and his four friends had to cut a hole through the roof to get into his presence. What are you willing to do to get to his presence? What's stopping you from getting into his presence? What's holding you back from moving in his presence? You can make a simple adjustment in your heart through worship. Psalm, I want to go to one more psalm, Psalm 96, and then I'm done. So there's a lot to learn from this 70. I looked at this 70 story many times, and I never saw this before. And I was reading a book on worship, and they kind of brought this out. Psalm 96. And I want you to look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." You know, sometimes to get into his presence means you got to offer something. Did the priest ever get into the Holy of Holies without offering something? No? Not in, the Amplified uses the word ascribe. That means to assign or to credit or to attribute. You got to recognize him. We got to ascribe the glory to the Lord, do his name. Are you ready to do some ascribing? Today you're going to be scribes. And as a scribe, you're going to ascribe the glory to his name. Now I know that we have all different kinds of backgrounds and we're all at different places in the Lord. But what I'm asking you today is to be real, genuine, and sincere with God. I want you to be honest with yourself about where you are in your relationship with God. You know where you are, or you know where you're not. Amen? How many know that if you're here, you're not somewhere else? Right? And I'm not even talking about daydreaming or anything like that. Listen, you know where you are with the Lord. And I want you to ascribe glory to his name. If there's something in your life that's not right with God, I want you to make it right right now. If there's something in your heart, maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's resistance to God's will, maybe it's a lack of understanding, maybe it's a not knowing. You know, all those things can be cleared up in his presence. I want you to be real with God today. God wants you to be real. Amen? The things of God are not to be played around with. And, you know, just so that you know, we're here every Sunday, every Wednesday. We're here once a month on Saturdays. And we're here to preach the gospel. We're here to pray for people. We're here to meet people where they are with the power of God. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying that we're accessible. You need help? I'm not going to read your mind. You need to, if you need help in some way, you need to come. Amen? But we're going to take some time right now to ascribe glory to his name. And there's nothing hidden in his presence, okay? This is not just an exercise. It's got to be done with your whole heart in a reverent way, amen? So I want everybody to ascribe glory to his name. And as you're ascribing, if he says that there's something that you need to adjust, let me tell you something. Most often, you already know. When God tells you, he's just reminding you because you haven't done it. You know, God is gracious. He might tell you several times to change this or to adjust that or to tweak this. But we're going to get in God's presence and we're going to tweak what we need to tweak. Amen? We're going to be as devoted as these 70 were to the Lord so that he can then send you out and you can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed and you can cast out devils. Amen. I want you, everybody, to stand up. We've been talking about worship this whole time, 3 weeks now, 4 weeks now, actually, because this is a 5-week month. And we've said a lot of things about what worship is, how to worship, how it should occur, amen? But now, you put where the rubber meets the road. And whatever you need to adjust in your heart, get it adjusted. Stop. Don't let the devil take you away from what's most important, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, ask him. Say, Lord, come into my life. Be Lord over my life. I give you my life. And let him have it. Amen? Let's worship. Let's worship. Get into his presence with singing and thanksgiving, giving praise to him. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Lord. We bless your holy name. Father, we as your people,